Napoleon was having a rough day. And he was on his horse and something spooked it bad and it just took off. And it startled him and he dropped the reins. So he is on this horse and the horse is going full bore. Something just really got a hold of it. And he was in danger. One of the privates stepped out of ranks and got to the saw where the horse was going and was able to grab the reins underneath the bits there and to get the horse stopped. It was at his own peril as well. Napoleon looked at him and he said, "You are now the captain of my guard." The man threw down his gun, went over and stood by the guard. The former captor of the guard said, "What are you doing here? You do not deserve to be. Who told you you could come and stand here?" Private said, "He did," because he pointed to Napoleon. And that was all that it took. He took Napoleon at his word and he became the captain of the guard solely because Napoleon said, "You are now my captain and my guard." Nothing else needed to be said. If God says something, let us take Him at His word. "He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall not perish but have everlasting life." Don't you believe that?
Yeah, really, I believe that.
Don't you believe that? See, what you must understand is that we have the greatest assurance in life in that God said it and He cannot lie. Look at John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Folks, one of the things in the church today that I've noticed is that there is a lack of assurance. All of a sudden, we've got to have all of this knowledge and we've got to believe this or believe that and grab over here and do this and do that. And maybe if you do everything right, you get the assurance of salvation. But I want you to understand, the only assurance we have of being saved, the only assurance we have that our sins are forgiven comes from the Father, because He says, if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And because of that, we have that assurance. Look at John chapter 5, verse 24. "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me," what's that next word? You must do better than that. What is the next word? Has. That word "has" is something that has happened in the past and goes forward. Has what? Eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life already. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. If you've received Him as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life, regardless of what happens down here. Look into John chapter 11. John chapter 11, look with me in verse 25. Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies a physical death, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die the spiritual death." Never do you believe this, is what he asked them. Many times we are like the man with the demon-possessed son who asked Jesus if he would do something. "Can you do anything?" And Jesus said, "Can I do anything? All things are possible for him who believes." And the man says, "I believe you. Help my unbelief. Help me in this struggle." Why are we like this? Because we never really take a person at their word unless it's been proven. True? Yeah. We don't really take a person at their word unless it's been proven. And since eternity is outside of our knowledge, we're looking for assurances here. When, folks, we have the greatest assurance that we can possibly have. God said it, and He cannot lie. Let me say that again. God said it, and He cannot lie. That word assurance is a positive declaration intended for confidence. A promise. Being certain in mind. Freedom from doubt and uncertainty. The Apostle John has instructed us in God's truth. And folks, there are times that he's challenged us. There's times that we would put ourselves in line with what he's said, and man, we're struggling. There's times in which he said, this is the truth. And we find that we struggle with that in our lives. So the question this morning, am I really saved? Am I really ready for eternity? Do I really have a place in God's family? And how can I know this in the messy middle? How can I know this? And folks, John is going to, he longs to fill you with assurance this morning. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Now, I'll be real honest with you. I struggled with these verses. And there's something about the way that I process things in my mind that I have to see it first. And these verses were difficult for me to see. It sounded like John was saying one thing and saying the same thing. And how does it all fit? And for me, personally, now if you struggle with that, I understand. But I got to see it. Oftentimes at work, somebody will come and they will tell me what they're wanting. And I will have to look at them and say, I don't see it yet. Well, I've told you what I want. I understand the words. I just don't see it. Let me ask you some questions. Can we say it a different way? That's the way I am. That's the way I process things. And for years it bothered me because I could not grasp it immediately. Now, I don't care. That's the way I am. That's the way God made me. So as we look at these verses, I want you to look at them with a process of assurance. That's what John's doing. He wants us to be assured. Who's he talking to? Christians. He's talking to those in Ephesus that have struggled with him and walked with him. And now there's false teachers coming in, ridiculing them because they are following just the simple words of Apostle John and the simple words of Jesus. There's greater things. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to adhere to the way we think. There's a greater knowledge out there. And they were struggling with this. Did I really believe right? Many times as somebody is an older Christian is getting ready to die, they will ask the question, did I do it right? Did I say the right words? Folks, there's nothing wrong with that. Death is, it's a long time. It's so sudden at times. And John is wanting them, now, the older Christians, they will follow that up by, well, yes, because God said this. But you may be here this morning. Maybe a young Christian. Maybe you're not sure about your salvation. You may be asking the same questions. Did I say the right words? Did I do it right? Do I have enough to believe? Look what John says. Chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now, you would think that he's referencing Jesus. That's not what he's doing because in the next verse, this is how we know that we love the children of God. So he kind of brings some clarity to that. Anyone who loves the Father loves those that are born of the Father. It's what he's talking about. Verse 2, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. What? This is how we know we love the children of God, when we love God and carry out His commands. Folks, that was confusing to me. Couldn't see it. Let's go on. Verse 3. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, just some words that are kind of confusing to us in 2018. I'm positive they were not confusing to those that you wrote them to. And since you are not the author of confusion, you can make these words and these sentences, you can make them clear to us. That we can see what the Apostle John was wanting us to see. That, Lord, that we can take a look at our own lives and that assurance can come to us as we look at His words and apply that. So I pray, dear Father, that You do that now. You bring clarity. That, Lord, that we will see how blessed that we truly are. And we will begin to live our lives with assurance in who You are and what You have promised. In your name, amen. Suppose you read in a newspaper, a man died and he left his heirs $5 million. Wouldn't surprise you at all, would it? In fact, you probably wouldn't care. That's just what it. Now, imagine you're reading in the newspaper or online, the man died and he left you $5 million. Now, you are interested, aren't you? You're going to find out some more information on this guy. Maybe you didn't even know him. He's a long-lost relative. But now you are in it. And what the promises of God are for is so we can be in it. He took this story of a man dying, leaving $5 million to someone, and he says, that's me. Well, as God gives us His promises and assurances, that's why He wants you to take it. Well, that's me. He's talking about me. He's promised that to me. So often we look at it in general. Well, God's promised it to the church. That's good. He has promised it to the church. But that's not what it's for. It's for me. So that I would know who I am. So that I would know what truth is. So I would know what assurance is. He has spoken them to His, and He has spoken them to me, and His Holy Spirit is leading me to truth. I am blessed. And I can live this life not in fear or apprehension. I can be assured of what my Father has promised me. Eternally, yes. But folks, right now as well. Right now in this messy middle. I want you to use your imagination. You are at this time. The Apostle John has given you these words. The last words. All of the other eyewitnesses have passed on. There's no one other than John that can walk and say, I walked with Jesus. I heard His words. I know who He is. I know what He has promised us. The miracles are starting to fade because they don't need them as much anymore. They have the words that have been written. So those are fading. And you couldn't even go back and, yeah, God's word is true because there's a miracle and there's a miracle and there's a miracle. We saw that. Their reliance was on the miracles rather than on the person of Jesus Christ. And now imagine that somebody is coming in saying, well, you really got to believe this way. You got to believe that way. You got to do these things. You got to know certain information before God can promise you eternity. So the question is, how do I know I did it right? How do I know I'm believing the right things for an eternity? How do I hold out for Jesus? I'm as just wishy-washy as could be. I've attended church. I've not attended church. I struggled. How do I know that I will hold out until the end? Why is it so hard down here? All great questions that John answers in these little verses right here. Question one, how do I know with assurance I am saved? I am born again. I am ready for an eternity. How do I know? John tells us this. The very first word, everyone. It's an important word. Hi, Ryan. I didn't see you there. It's good to see you this morning. You too, but he's been gone. Everyone. Notice it doesn't say the strong, those who are theologically trained, those who don't struggle, those whose lives are perfect. Everyone. Everyone what? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone. Everyone that knows that Jesus came from God, that Jesus is our Savior, everyone who knows that, guess what? You're born again. Yeah, both of you's got that. Yes, it is that. Well, Randy, I've got so many questions. I got questions on the virgin birth. It doesn't say that. It's important. But that's not what it says. I got questions about why I struggle. And it doesn't say that. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born again, period. Period. That ought to bring assurance to your life. It doesn't say those who said the Roman road correctly, those who said the prayer correctly, those who've done this correctly. It doesn't say that. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. You are born again. Not that Jesus existed. Not that Jesus was a miracle worker. Not that Jesus was pure. Jesus is the Son of God. Why is that important? Look at Matthew chapter 16. This is amazing. Matthew chapter 16. Now things have happened. They've demanded a sign. The Jews, the people are leaving. Jesus basically asks the question, who do people say the Son of Man is? They say, well, some say Elijah. Some say one of the prophets. And he asks a very important question in verse 15. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Greatest question you've got to answer. Who do you personally say I am? Well, the church believes this. Don't care what the church believes. Who do you say I am? You personally. Look what he says. Simon Peter said, I can just imagine, I got this. Oh, I got this. I know what this is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's not the exciting part. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Jonah, for this is not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. You didn't come up to this on your own, Peter. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven, and is a sign that you understand, and you are one that as following me, you have been born again. Now, why is that exciting? Because folks, you can't come to that conclusion unless the Father has revealed that to you, and He has made you a part of His family. Get excited, guys. That means, if you can say, Jesus is the Son of God, came for me, and you know it, then that is a sign that God has forgiven you of your sins, because you wouldn't have come up on that on your own. God has done that in your life. And He has done that in your life. Then your sins are forgiven. You've been adopted into His family. The Spirit of God lives within you. And you are born again, period. Rejoice. Rejoice, O Christians, in what God has done in you. You would not have come to this. Do you know this? If yes, I want you to rejoice. Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Randy, what difference does that make? Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Look there in verse 11. Once again, the Apostle John. Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. It's accountability. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done and recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he has done. The death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Verse 15. If anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. If your name is on the book of life, what's that mean? An eternity with the Father. An eternity. You want your name in the book. The only way you get your name in the book of life is understanding who Jesus is and your need for a Savior. But if your name is in the book, you're not even going to be at the great white throne judgment. Because you will spend an eternity with heaven. It's important. The most important decision you can ever make in your life is to know who Jesus is. Randy, that's not what my friends tell you. I don't care what your friends tell you. God cannot lie. Your friends can. Folks, TV can be incorrect. I don't know if you've noticed that. Folks, even Fox News don't get it right. Those who watch that. But God cannot lie. If He ever lied, He would cease to be God. And he says, everyone who believes upon the Lord, name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Second question. How do I know I'm loving my Christian brothers as John says I'm supposed to? Folks, he hit this all the time, didn't he? All the time. And he hit it hard. And if we put our lives up beside what John had written, we don't measure up. We do not do that. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light, that's just another way of saying that you have been born again. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Oh my! If you struggle with your feelings towards someone, all of a sudden you're going, oh man, am I really saved? Maybe I'm still in the darkness. Look at chapter 4, verse 21. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brothers. Now, it's at this point we go, well, I struggle with this person. I struggle with my feelings over here. Does that mean I'm still in darkness? No, it does not. Verse 1, everyone born of God will love the Father. Look there. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his born ones as well. Everyone who is born of God will love the Father. That comes from the Spirit of God. He will bring that love to you. And because of this, they will also love those who are born of Him. Not in perfection, but there will be that desire, that unction within us to love, because that's what the Spirit of God brings to us. Because the Holy Spirit has made Jesus real to you, He will also make love for the Father real to you, and we will love our brothers and sisters. It's a natural flow, not in perfection. But He brings that to our lives. I heard on Focus of the Family this week, a lady, and I cannot remember her name, but somebody killed her father when she was younger. And she struggled with that because he's now in prison. And she struggled with that because you're supposed to love, you're supposed to forgive. And for several years, she got married, had a couple kids, found out she was irritable all the time. Guys, you cannot use this for your wives. This is her story. And she said she was irritable. Not her husband. God revealed to her that there was unforgiveness in her life. Was she justified physically not to forgive? Yes. But God began to work in her life. And she began to send a letter to this man. She said mostly that was just to get the conscience. Okay, I've done that. I've sent him a letter. And they began to correspond. Over the course of several years, she was able not just to forgive this man, but to love him. Not instantly, but do you see what the Spirit did? It took her where she was at. And moved her to love that person which was so unlovable to her. She didn't do it on her own. The Spirit of God did that. So what's that say? I may not love my brothers and my sisters in perfection, but God is moving me in that direction. So yes, I can take what John says and I can be joyful in where God is taking me. We will never get away permanently of not loving. We will never get away by just being. The Spirit of God will take us. Look at verse 2. As we are loving God by obeying His commands, His Spirit is in leading us to all truth. And that forgiveness is part of that truth. That loving those who are unlovable is part of that truth. Notice the last part of verse 3. His commands are not burdensome. Hard. Can we say that? Yes. So we struggle with our flesh and we struggle with our will. Some of His commands are hard for us, but they are not burdensome. They do not weigh us down is really what that means. Because once we obey, we are freed up from the weight of sin. And God promises to carry us and help carry us through those times. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take up my yoke." In other words, get in the yoke with me. And let me lead and guide you. Folks, we are blessed. We are blessed. We will eventually love our brothers and sisters, as John has said. Number three, how do I know with assurance I will make it to the end? Hold on to Christ, overcome this world and all that's in. How do I know I will last? I've gone 2 or 3 years and I've gone to church and now I've struggled and I find myself out of it and I just seem so wishy. How do I know that I will overcome this world? If we'll be honest, we've already got 3 strikes against us. This old flesh that we were born with, it wars with us at times. You ever notice that? God's Word says this and we go, "I don't think so." That's that old flesh. Have you noticed the world and its passions? All you have to do is watch TV and it will show you what it thinks is important. What it thinks your life should be like. And the commercials will inflame your passions at times. You've got to be careful of that. And then we've got Satan who hates us. And you're tempted to say, it's way too much. I can't do it. And you're correct. But it is not way too much for God. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me, I hold Him in my hands, and nothing can take them away." Absolutely nothing. Verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? That's able to hold on to the end. That's able to stand when Jesus comes and not be embarrassed. Who's able to live this life with victory? Who is it? Is it the strong? Is it the well-educated? Is it those who've never struggled with anything? What's it say? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the same thing as salvation. What God is saying is, "I got this. And I've got you. And you are in my hand. And you are my child. And I will lead and I will guide. And yes, I will discipline. But you will stand victorious. When that trumpet God sounds, you will hear it. When that trumpet God sounds, the dead in Christ will rise. Those who are still here will be transformed. That is you. And you will one day physically be a victorious over this world and its passions and sin. Until that time, you're in the messy middle. And I am promising you victory. I'm promising you that you will be there in the end. You are mine. I've got this. In the meantime, come follow me." When Jesus went to the disciples, calling them to discipleship, He looked at Peter and he didn't say, "You know, I'm Jesus, I'm the Christ, and I'm going to do all these great things, and you're going to be my apostle, and you're going to go through these things, and you're going to do great and mighty things, and so you really want to follow me." He just said, "Peter, come follow me, and I will make you." He said, "Fishers of men, come follow me, and I will make you victorious." Now, you know Peter's life. He struggled just like we do. But he was victorious. Will you struggle in this messy middle? Yes. Will you have doubts in this messy middle? Yes. But God's got it. You are today victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ through your faith. There's that word "everyone" again in verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. It's good stuff, guys. Good stuff. He will not rest. There's a man. No, this is not a man. Suppose a man is going to Cincinnati and he gets on a car, train. He feels a little uneasy because he's not really sure. If you're like me, you have directional problems. Is he really going towards St. Louis? And he's not until he understands and he catches the direction of the train and he hears the voice, this is train 431 en route to St. Louis, that he can sit. You ever get on a plane and wonder whether you're on the right one? You laugh. How many times you check your flight number? Used to in the old days, they didn't hardly check. Yeah, I mean, you just kind of walked on. And, you know, there's a couple times I'm wondering, is this really going to St. Louis? He's going the wrong way. He's going south. Yeah, he's going to make a big loop here in the middle. But there was no assurance until you heard the voice of the pilot go, this is your captain, whatever, flight 431 en route to St. Louis. Then you could sit back and relax. Folks, we are en route to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for an eternity. And we can have assurance because your captain has said, I'm the Lord God Almighty. I know where this plane is going. And you are on the right plane. I will get you there. It will be messy. There will be times in which you will be tempted to give up. But I have done something that you are going to have a hard time understanding here on this earth. Colossians chapter 1. This is you, born again, children of God. Colossians chapter 1. Look with me. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been qualified to sit at the King's table. And we are on the way to eternity. And I want you to begin living your life with that assurance. Bow your heads. The question is, who do you say Jesus is? Randy, He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then you have been born again. You may need to know more. There may need to be more obedience into your life, but you have been born again according to Scriptures, according to what we read this morning. But if you're wishy-washy, Randy, I just don't have it all figured out, then you are not. I don't care what words you said. You don't know who Jesus is. Well, I think this. No, think. If you have not received Him as your Lord and Savior, acknowledged your sin, then the Father has not changed you fundamentally to where you know that. And you better get that taken care of this morning. Because eternity is a really long time. And there is nothing in Scripture that says it ever ends. In fact, it calls it eternally. But for the most of us, we know who Jesus is. We may struggle with the doing, but we know who He is. You have been fundamentally changed. You are in the kingdom, and you are on your way to heaven, and that's settled. Now, how are you going to live down here? Will you live with the assurance of who He is, that He's got everything in control? Yeah, we can learn all of that. We can learn about the virgin birth. We can learn about the substitutional death. We can learn about all of that. The key is, do you really know Jesus? And the rest of the assurances of life come in delving deep into His Word and finding out the truths and the promises God has given us. God has gave us the ability to choose. Has given us. Which means that He will not force you. He will make it plain. You'll get a glimpse of eternity. The author of Hebrews said that if you've tasted the goodness of God and turn away, He's given you that glimpse. But you've not bowed that knee and accepted Him. Then eternity is lost forever. In a place that was reserved for the devil and his demons. But for the most of us, I want you to be assured that your Father in heaven has you. And He will not let you go. And He is leading and guiding, developing you, developing the character of Christ within you. And even in this messy, messy middle that we find ourselves, there's a place, there's a purpose, and there is pleasure in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. But you must obey the truth that He shows you. And then He will show you more. We're going to sing in just a moment. And we're going to open these altars to give you the opportunity. Randy, do I have to come down? If you ask me that question, I'm going to say yes, because you've got pride that's standing in the way. But no, you do not. You probably should. And you may need to bring your family. You may need to bring your wife as you're struggling with things of marriage. You're struggling with kids. Struggling with things at work. You may need to grab somebody and come on down. But whatever the Spirit is instructing you, be obedient. And we've already found this morning that His words are not burdensome. Father, do what you will to do here this morning. May we be obedient, and I give you the praise in your name. Amen.